At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
You're back inside the bullpen with the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I really do want to get... All right, we're back on here. I caught a little bit of that conversation there behind the scenes. ESPN Radio 92.5. I said it backwards. 97.5, 92.5. It's the producer show, the bullpen. Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, Brian McDonald, BMAC. Glad to be with you here on a Sunday. And guys, I asked the question before the break. RJ, I believe this is a topic you put in, yeah. And I had it earlier in the rundown before, a little peek behind the scenes, but I had to move it back because Anthony Richardson just went and blew the damn roof off at the combine. But the question being, in any sport, who is the player that's under the most pressure to win a championship? Now, I'll go ahead and say this. I don't really follow Major League Soccer or Premier League or NHL.
Hector Herrera's got some... Got a lot of pressure on him.
Sure.
A lot of question marks behind him.
Yeah. Okay.
Right
yeah.
Fit.
So we're gonna stick to what I would call, I think what most people would consider the big three, the NBA, the NFL, and Major League Baseball. And I have one from each sport in here. I think you guys, too, will get to as much as we can get to. I'll lead off here with one of them, and I say lead off because it's a baseball player, and that's Mike Trout. I think Mike Trout is someone who – has the skill set and the resume minus playoff wins that really could go down as one of the greatest of all time. I mean, I think he's the type of player and put up the type of stats that he could be when you name off the best players of all time and you're naming Ruth and King Griffey and Bonds and whoever, Mike Trout really could be in that conversation. I mean, we're talking about a guy that's won 3 MVPs, has 4 second place finishes. Right. So he's got 7 years in the top 2, plus 2 more years in the top 5. He's got 4 seasons with the highest WAR, and now has the highest WAR among any active player in baseball after the Albert Pujols retired. His career WAR ranks above Joe DiMaggio, above Pete Rose, and he's just 1 point behind King Griffey Jr., and Mike Trout's only 31. He's got time. He's got time left on his career. I mean, baseball players, it's not like the NFL. I mean, he could play into his late 30s at a high level.
I think he has like 9 years left on his contract.
Well, that too.
He signed one of those 13 years.
Shout out to Albert Pujols. He did the same thing there in LA. Problem is, he's got 0 playoff wins. So, I mean, it's just been a very confusing thing. Obviously, the Angels have run into the Astros since 2015 when the Astros emerged back into the playoffs. So they've had a juggernaut in their division, if you want to give the Angels that excuse, but they still haven't beat anybody else in the playoffs. I mean, if Mike Trout doesn't win a title, if he doesn't even get to a World Series, can you consider him one of the greatest of all time, or is that something that would be a huge strike on his resume?
I think the baseball heads out there would still have him as one of the greatest from this era, I'll say,
right,
of this kind of 2010s and on
era. Yeah, I think that's kind of his floor, like the greatest of his generation.
But to be able to transcend that to casual baseball fans or people that don't follow baseball to still even know his name, I feel like he does need at least some measure of success in the postseason to get to that point. Because really, that's the only time nationally that people are paying attention to baseball.
Yeah, I think during the regular season, a lot of times, and I'm this way, I don't watch a lot of regular season baseball outside of the Astros. Yeah. I don't. And so, like you said, the casual baseball fan maybe only tunes in October, and the Angels with Mike Trout have only been to the playoffs once, and they got swept.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Mike Trout's got to win a title.
It was 2014, too.
Yeah, it was a while ago. So, Sean, who's somebody on your list that's got to win a title?
Nikola Jokic. Got it. Yeah. Got to win the title. Got at least
probably going to win what, third MVP in a row.
He's going to win his third MVP in a row. It's already given to him. He should, next time they have a home game, he should just accept the award right there.
Yeah,
in the regular season.
Maybe
they could stop a game.
I mean, everyone,
the stat pattern.
We've already given it to him. So
maybe they could stop a game in the third quarter like they did when LeBron passed up Kareem.
Yes, he makes one little fadeaway post shot, and then they're like, "All right, disgusting. MVP, it's over." pass it to wide open Jamal Murray. There we go. MVP.
There it is.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to win third straight MVP, something hasn't been done since Larry Bird back in the 80s. And, I mean, A, think about all the players in the last 40 years that that haven't won three straight MVPs.
Or, yeah, Michael, LeBron.
Even guys that just haven't won.
Shaq.
He only won one MVP.
Yeah.
Both those guys only won one MVP, each of them.
Yeah.
Jokic is going to win three in a row. So that's where it comes in.
And Jokic hasn't even been to an NBA final.
No.
It's kind of like Mike Trout.
He made the Western Conference Finals in 2020, where they lost to the Lakers.
How many games are they losing?
Six.
Okay, so it was a competitive series? I didn't remember.
Six. Yeah, it was a competitive series. But as far as just having to deal with that, that's what, to me, a lot of this segment is not having to deal with the noise when you're one of the game's best players of, can't win with this guy, can't get it done the postseason. I mean, Joel Embiid is another example of that. I mean, he's only ever made it to the second round. He's not made the conference finals. Philadelphia, the franchise, the 76ers, have not made the Eastern Conference Finals since Allen Iverson in 2001.
Yeah, yeah, when they, lost in five to RJ's Lakers?
Yes, they won game one, got swept the rest of the way. Yeah. And so these two guys especially, and Jokic more so, because he's the guy who's actually winning all these MVPs instead of finishing second every year in MVP, he's the guy who, you got to make a run. The West is wide open, really. I mean, the Grizzlies are an absolute disaster right now. And then
we'll talk about
that
later.
And then they're the two seed. Yeah, the Clippers don't play any defense. Yeah, the Suns still working in all their pieces.
LeBron's hurt. The Lakers aren't going to make it.
Lakers are hurt. Warriors, we'll see. So the West is wide open for Jokic. It's there for him to take it. You got to make the finals.
RJ, who's someone on your list that needs to prove it?
Well, for me, I think it's a guy who's asking for a big-time contract, and that may be Lamar Jackson. I mean, if you're going to give him this big-time deal and only one playoff win in his career, but if he's saying that I want to be paid one of the highest contracts in the NFL and to show that I'm one of the best, financially one of the best players in the entire league, then you have to put a championship behind it. I don't know if there's going to be another guy, because I don't know if we're going to put this kind of pressure on Deshaun. I mean, Deshaun got a big-time contract.
Well, you mentioned Deshaun. I think that's part of the problem is Lamar does need to prove it, but when you go out and pay Deshaun, who has, one playoff win in his career and obviously had problems with masseuses, and you have Kyler Murray, who can't stay off of Call of Duty, also making more, yeah, Lamar's got to prove it, but Lamar's got a case to get paid more than Kyler and Deshaun.
Absolutely. He has
on the
MVP.
Field, he's won an MVP.
He's won an MVP, and, I mean, here's one of the – I think one of the better dual threat quarterbacks we've had in our era. I mean, he proves it in the regular season that he's a great guy, but I'm going to start comparing him, and as an NBA reference, I'm going to start comparing him to Joe Johnson. Great stats guy, you know, in the regular season, but when it comes to the playoffs, I mean, you know, you're just a guy. I mean, and I don't know if it's a thing where he's saying I don't have receivers or I don't have, you know, the greatest run games or whatever the case that he wants to say. But if you're holding out this much and for whatever reason, it's your mom isn't making the right deals, you can't find a contract that you like and that you can agree on with the Baltimore Ravens. Once you get that contract, I feel like the time is going to have to start to tick for Lamar Jackson. You're going to need a return on your investment if you're Baltimore.
Just quickly getting to the rest of our list, just one-word answer here. Who would be your second on this list as far as guys having to prove something?
In the NFL, I mean, Lamar's a great one. And then
Justin Herbert?
Justin Herbert. I completely blank. I was going to call him Josh Herbert.
Josh Herbert.
I mean, combine those two guys, that'd be awesome. Yeah, Justin Herbert, as a fact, I mean, you blew a 20-point you gotta win some games.
Full Atlanta Falcons. I have someone similar. Josh Allen. I think Justin Allen. I mean, obviously he's been. I think I have it here. Yeah, in fantasy he's been the quarterback 2-1-1 over the last 3 years. He's absolutely fantastic. But I mean, you can't put him above Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes at this point in his own conference. RJ, you got one more quickly?
Absolutely, Chris Paul. I mean, he has one of the best, I think.
It's a shame because he should have won it. I'll still always believe he should have won a title before that hamstring pull with the Rockets.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably one of his better chances. I don't know if him going to the finals with the Suns, I could say, was his best chance.
Well,
they
blew a 2-0 lead, so that doesn't look good.
But I feel like that Rockets team was better. But
especially because it would have meant taking down the Warriors with Kevin
Durant. Absolutely.
They would career-wise,
he has like one of the greatest resumes that you could ever see. But if he doesn't win a championship, you may look at him as probably top three greatest NBA players without a ring. So it'd be
he'd be up there for sure. Yeah. All right. Up next on the show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. The bull. I almost said the bench. I looked at you and I almost said the bench. Yeah, not till tomorrow. I'll have to clear my throat in honor of those guys. But one thing all of us as Houston sports fans and really sports fans in general have in common, there are player performances that went our way that we'll never forget. And, of course, there are a few others that we're still trying to forget, ones that broke our heart. We'll get into that, the good and the bad next. ESPN 97.5, 92.5. It's the bullpen with Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, and Brian McDonald. Be right back.
This is ESPN 97.5. You're back inside the bullpen with the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, back here on the bullpen, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. And if you want to call and give your own opinion on this next topic, the phone number, of course, for the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776, 780-ESPN. And fellas, this is something I've been looking forward to getting into when we were putting this rundown together, thinking about the individual player performances. I think this really came off the Dame Lillard 72-point game. I think that's where the idea for this segment came. Of course, scoring against the Rockets, just historically awful defense. I mean, the list of guys that have scored 40-plus against the Rockets defense this year has been – it's long. It's a long list. So we wanted to get into just kind of a look back at some of the individual player performances by Houston players that we just love recalling, that we'll talk about with our friends forever and reminisce and enjoy the conversation there. And, of course, the opposite side of that, just the individual player performances against our teams, not just Houston. Obviously, RJ is an L.A. sports fan. But the player performances have just killed us, and every time we remember them, it's just way too painful. And I'll go ahead and start off here actually with one of the one that I hated, because I had this exact same reaction, the same reaction I had in 2014 when I pulled this next audio from Dame Lillard beating the Rockets in 2014 when I got here to the ESPN 97.5 studios. I had the same reaction that I did in 2014, 9 years ago. It's unbelievable that it's been 9 years. But when Dame Lillard hits this shot that you're about to hear after the blown defense were Chandler Parsons and Patrick Beverly didn't switch and got lost over on the screen, I was heartbroken. Go ahead and play the sound, Josh.
9/10 left. A three wins the series. It's Lillard. He got the shot off. Lillard got it! Good! And the Blazers win the series for the first time in 14 years!
It doesn't get any easier.
Kept going, heard them all cheering. It was like a shotgun blast to the chest.
Can we say that's what almost started like the saga of Dame Lillard?
Yeah,
like that shot really kind of started.
I mean, we didn't bring up his names and players that need a championship, but Dame Lillard could certainly fall into that category. But I do think, like you said, RJ, that kind of started the legacy of him being a big shot guy.
He has another game winner that ends a series against the Thunder in 2019.
Right.
So, yeah, he's an absolute killer. Also kind of started the James Harden, elimination game stuff.
Well, there's lots. Yeah, there's lots of those. We can do a whole segment on the Harden mishaps.
Now, how spooky is it that Lillard hits that shot from that spot to beat Houston?
Yeah, off balance. He was not faced up.
But there was another Portland Trailblazer in the same spot a few years prior that I believe hit that shot over two Rockets defenders, one by the name of Brandon Roy.
Yeah.
And oh, yeah.
I mean, well, yeah, it was absolute killer for
I mean, the Rockets did get one playoff series win over the Blazers with Yao Ming and crew. But the Blazers were certainly a team that seemed to torture the Rockets from time to time. Sean, what's one of your loves for the highlights and player performances that you love to remember?
You want me to start with the love?
I started the hate just because it. I just had the feeling of pulling the audio, and I it was in fresh. My head. But let's go ahead and get back into the positive.
Okay, let's have a little bit of palate cleanser. I'm going with Charlie Morton with the start.
Yeah.
Lance McCullers with the save. Scoreless against the Yankees ALCS Game 7 2017, and ended like this.
One out away from a save in Game 7. Bird into center. Springer says he's got it. The Houston Astros win the pennant.
Oh, that brings back good memories.
24 straight curveballs.
Was it 24? I had the number 27 in my mind, but I think that's the number three.
I'll get to that later. Yes. Lance McCullers absolutely shoving at the end of that game.
Yeah, CFM too to start the game.
Yes, and I don't want to lose track of Charlie Morton. Absolute killer. And then they flipped it where Game 7 of the World Series.
Charlie had to save him because Lance didn't have his best stuff that night.
So those two guys, really both those games, but the Yankees one especially just because – just getting over
it's
that
just
final
more
hump.
Fun to beat the Yankees.
And especially just embarrassing. Like some of the, I was watching that clip on YouTube. Just Aaron Judge had no shot against against Lance McCullers.
You mentioned the Dodgers later. Cody Bellinger in the World Series also had the same problem.
Just throw him a curve.
They would just throw him a curveball his back foot, and he just flailed over it every single time. RJ, what's one of the things you loved?
One of the things that I loved being from LA at the time. I know being new to Houston, but one of my favorite players at the time was Tracy McGrady. And I think it was one of those moments. Everybody's leaving the arena. San Antonio's going to walk away with this victory. And then Tracy McGrady does the unthinkable.
Brent Barry gets it in. Kevin Brown lost it. Here comes McGrady. No timeouts remaining. McGrady for the win. Yes! 1.7 to go. San Antonio with no timeout. Here's Parker. And the Rockets steal a game from the Spurs. Tracy McGrady with an incredible performance down the stretch, including a four-point play. Tracy McGrady with 33 points.
The Texas showdown continues.
San Antonio had won 7 straight against Houston, and it's all McGrady scoring the last 13 for the Rockets. 13 points in 33 seconds.
That was absolutely incredible.
Improbable.
Yeah. I mean, so
13 and 33.
And for Popovich, when the reporters asked him what happened, and the only thing he could say is Tracy McGrady happened.
Yeah, what can you say?
What else can you really say?
And unfortunately, that is both a love and a hate for me. I told you, RJ, before the show that I had a story about that. So back during that time, I actually had one like the mini game ticket plans with the Rockets. The Rockets are the only team I've ever had one of those. I had it for a couple seasons, but I had tickets to that game.
Really?
I had tickets to that game.
I noticed you're not saying you're not choosing different words.
No, I said had
tickets.
Yeah, because I had a mini game package with my buddy Travis that I went to high school with. And
where were your seats?
They were.
Where's the view that you had of this game?
Well, it was my TV. the seats I should have had was mid-court, upper level, like first row. It was pretty good. But my buddy Travis, like an hour or two before the game, called me and was like, hey, man, I'm sick. I can't make it. And I didn't have anyone else to go with. And I was like, all right, I'll just watch it from home. I don't want to go by the arena by myself. And I'm watching the game, and obviously I'm talking trash to him right at the end. Just like, you blanky. I think I can't say on there. Every time that memory comes up on Facebook for me, where it reminds me of the pain that I went through watching the game that it should have been for at in person, I always have to give him hell for that. So I gave you my hate earlier with the Dame Lillard game winner against the Rockets in 2014. Josh, my love was the Altuve 3 home run game in the game 1 of the ALDS against Boston in 2017.
Altuve smacks one toward left center field. Back at the wall, Benintendi. They go back to back and go up 2-0. Altuve drives one to deep left center field. Is this his second? Second of the game. Red Sox lost the game. Look out here. Look out now. You want to join Babe Ruth on the list? He just did.
He just did. Obviously, I had to use the national broadcast because we don't want to air the local, us being ESPN 97.5 and not another competitor in town. But, God, I mean, that moment was great because, obviously, 2015 was great for the Astros when they finally got back to the playoffs after being out for, I think, 10 years. But you knew they weren't going to advance. They kind of were what they were. They should have beat the Royals, but I didn't really have any thoughts of them winning a title. But 2017 obviously felt different. They go on to win the title, and that was to start it off with Altuve hitting three home runs. I believe they scored eight runs in the game, something like that. And two of those home runs coming off the Red Sox ace, Chris Sale. That was an unbelievable moment that I'll never forget. It wasn't a title moment, but it was absolutely unbelievable. We only got about a minute left here. But quickly, I don't know if we can get to the sound, but what were some of the performances that still eat you guys up? What are the performances
Sean's
that you
and
hate?
I are the same.
Are they?
I was going to say, I noticed a lot of these performances are what players on opposite teams did to our teams. This one is what my own team did to me.
Oh.
And that's, I have two. One, 2017 Game 6 against the Rockets. Yeah. Against the Spurs. Spurs 114, Rockets 75.
Is that the James Harden choke game?
That is the James Harden. Is he even in the building? He went 2 for 11 with six turnovers, 10 points, six fouls.
Not great, Bob.
Yeah, not great. I had to watch that game with the Spurs fan, and that is the last time I've ever spoken to Abraham.
Wow.
Shout out to Abraham.
Yeah, no.
What was one of the other ones you hated, RJ?
Well it's quite simple. It's a quick play.
Houston, 6 of 40.
Curry for 3.
Oh. Yes, right on target.
One of my favorite Disney movies. We are at an ESPN station, so we're owned by Disney. One of my favorite Disney movies is Hercules. When Hades says we were so close, yet we tripped at the finish line, that's what exactly went through my head. I wanted Houston to win that series so bad. I'm sure, like everyone else, hated Kevin Durant and Golden State and the whole super team thing. I loved when Chris Paul shimmied in front of Steph Curry and you tripped at the finish line. Do not remind me of that, because just a couple of weeks later, Golden State is holding up the championship trophy. And that's just something I do not like to remember.
No, I don't like to remember it either, RJ. You bring them back a lot of painful memories.
It's painful to me.
Yeah, you really brought me down there to end the segment, RJ.
Painful to me. You asked what I hated.
This was a good vibes only show until you brought everyone down with
Call
that.
In.
Yeah. All right, so we got to get out of here because we got something important coming up next. If you haven't seen it yet, there is a cinematic masterpiece in the theaters right now that goes by the name Cocaine Bear. And that has inspired our next segment. Up next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, it's time for a draft. I don't know if we'll do these every week, but we're going to do one this week. And it won't be just any regular draft. We're drafting animals to fight on our behalf based on the cinematic masterpiece Cocaine Bear. That's next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in. ESPN 97.5, 92.5. It is The Bullpen. Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, and me, BMAC, Brian McDonald. If you want to join the show, phone number, the HRMP listener line, 713-780-3776. That's 780-ESPN. And gentlemen, as teased, we're going to get into a draft, but being someone that improved their life by seeing the cinematic masterpiece Cocaine Bear, as Sean pointed out during the break, I was saying Cocaine Bear. It was a bit that I had to make it sound more regal, and now it's just kind of part of my everyday life. I don't think I can go back to pronouncing that word the other way. So the premise of this draft is we, gentlemen, are locked into a gladiator-style arena, and we will be fighting to the death. But because we're gentlemen, we're not going to fight on our own. We're going to have animals fighting on our behalf, because that's okay. the gentlemanly thing to do, obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
And to make it even more gentlemanly, not only will we have animals fighting on our behalf, but we will have animals whose fighting prowess will improve when they are coked up out of their ever-living minds. So what animals
do you want? This is inhumane.
Yeah. What animals, all high on cocaine, do you want fighting to the death on your behalf? We'll go in reverse order, actually, of what I have here in the rundown. RJ, I will give you the first pick. I will say, let's take bears off the draft, because that's think everyone would take bear number one.
Yeah.
So we'll probably go three rounds of this. I don't think we'll have time to get to more. RJ, what is your first pick?
My first pick is a dog. I just feel like, I mean, you know, you already have dogs that...
Man's best friend.
Uh-huh. I mean, they're going to fight...
Was.
They're going to fight, honestly, to the death for you all the time. They're by your side. Some of them are crazy to begin with.
And now you're going to put them on cocaine.
Now you only up the ante.
And there's a certain loyalty with dogs that, and no one becomes less loyal once they start doing cocaine, right?
Oh, well, I'm sure there's lots of medical research on that. I have. Are you speaking from experience there? All right, so RJ's got dog number one overall, man's best friend. I guess you think there'll be some loyalty there, that they'll fight even harder, RJ?
Oh yeah,
they fight for the name on the back of the jersey.
They fight for the name. We fight for the name on the on the front, not the back.
All right, what do you got first, Sean?
Give me straight out of the lowland, I don't know, plains of
you don't have to
of
give
Ecuadorian Africa. Give me the silverback gorilla.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I want some muscle. I want a lot of muscle. And
a lot of muscle.
I also want opposable thumbs.
That's a good pick.
I want so you can grab this dog and throw him out of the...
I hate to break it to you, RJ. I think you might have already lost.
Yeah.
Sean's going to rip your
dog. All
you got to
do is
apart.
Get a good grip around the neck.
I don't think that matters.
Pin him down.
All right. So I, too, like Sean, am going with size for this first pick. And I want a tank. I want something that's going to be hard to bring down. Certainly RJ's little puppy dog isn't going to take this
pup.
It's not going to take my animal down. It's going to be a tough fight between my animal here and Sean's silverback gorilla. I'm going with a rhino, a coked-up rhino who's got the weapon on the front of his face with the horn charging at you. That animal's a tank. That's going to be hard to take down.
Oh, yeah.
On the battlefield, I'm good luck. I mean, maybe Sean can do something there with the silverback gorilla. Yeah, I don't know.
It's about leverage and getting low, you know.
All right. So do we want a snake draft here, or are we going back to the front?
Let's go. It's only three. Let's just go back.
All right. RJ, your second pick.
My second pick, we're going to go with the king of the jungle. That's going to be a lion.
Okay.
I mean,
you
know, just a great hunter. Also very, very wise. Can be very slick.
What does wisdom have to come?
Because it's going to know which points to attack, how to attack, how much to attack before it backs off. Then when you're at your lowest point, then it's like, you know, you done messed up, right? And that's when you go in for the big final blow. That's why you need the king of the jungle. They're king of the jungle for the reason.
I think wisdom leaves the playing surface when you get coked up out of your mind. But Sean, your second pick.
I'm going from
Are we going to give the origin for every animal?
From Siberia University,
weighing in at 275 pounds.
I'm going to go with the Siberian tiger.
Okay. Yeah, so again, another big cat there.
I'm looking for size. I'm looking for traits. I'm looking for the Anthony Richardson of cocaine animals.
So not the Jeremy Lin of cocaine animals?
Not the Jeremy Lin. And as for a little detail, I do want this to be one of the Snow White tigers, just to fit in with the whole cocaine aesthetic.
Okay. I like what you did there.
I like
it definitely fits in with
and
the
also
team.
Silverback could be... You know,
you going with color? We going with animals
color
with color in their name?
Color coordinated.
Okay.
Animals so his team is coordinated.
Animals that look like their fur could be cocaine. Yes,
okay.
That's what
I like that. So the first pick, I took the rhino. I got, I believe, the biggest tank in the draft. It's especially one that comes with the weapon with the horn on front. Now I'm going to go in a different direction. I like the direction you guys took with the big cats. It makes a lot of sense. But I'm going to be the first one to gain air superiority. And I'm going with, because I am a great American, I'm going with a bald eagle that's going to swoop down and either claw out or peck out the eyes of your animals. And RJ, with your little puppy dog, I'm sorry.
It's not going to be a pup.
This eagle is just going to pick your little puppy dog up.
Swoop him up.
And drop him from a height. And
seismic toss?
Yeah.
That'll be the halftime snack.
The halftime snack. RJ, you're already down one animal.
Rhino and bald eagle I've got there. So I've got the tank. I've got the air superiority. RJ, you're up for your third pick.
For my last pick, if I would like to go for size, and I feel like this is a very underrated animal when we talk about the animal kingdom. I'm going to go with a big pachyderm. Give me an elephant. I think it can grab you with its trunk, throw you around, also has its tusk. So it's a very dual threat, if you will, as an animal that can attack in many ways. Or if it just wants to, you know, sit on you and take all the air out of your guys' animals, it can do that as well. So a very, very dual threat
animal.
You said
it's just going to sit on our animals?
It could do that if it wanted to. I mean, you know, listen, I'm here for size. I'm here for thoughts. An elephant never forgets. So if one of your animals did something against our elephant,
out of his mind.
Went against my elephant, says, hey, I remember you. And just go to town. Hey,
aren't you cousins with that one? with that one rhino? That
hey,
yeah. Your auntie. Yeah, I know you're
from the savannah, right? Yeah.
Right,
from the Sahara.
Hey, weren't you the reason why I couldn't eat the leaves off of that tree, you bald eagle? Yeah, it's go time.
It's go time. All right, Sean, what do you got next here?
I also wanted air superiority.
Did I steal your pick?
No, you didn't. I mean,
I'm just more patriotic than you. That's why I took the bald eagle.
Yes, and I'm also
these colors don't run, Sean.
I'm checking. Yeah, no, they're not running. I'm also going for size. I'm going straight out. I don't know why I keep doing it.
Straight from parts unknown, from weighing at 350 pounds.
California, aka California. Give me the California condor.
Oh, okay. That's a big-ass bird.
Nine-foot wingspan. It preys on rodents, cattle, sheep, deer. It lists cattle
certainly
again.
RJ's
it loves cattle.
Wimpy-ass puppy dog
here. And rabbits, which I'm sure
doesn't
RJ's going to pick
a dog.
Next.
Yeah, that's probably RJ's next
three.
Pick is a rabbit.
We only said three. I got three.
Yeah, we're not going to have time for it.
Rabbit was your next off on your board, right?
Yeah, that was
not
probably the next one off
my board.
If
we were going to name the honorable mention, certainly rabbit, I think, would have been on there. Hamster, probably RJ.
Another wise animal.
House cat.
Can dig, and just dig underground, and yeah.
All right, so I've got my tank. I've got air superiority, although I'm a little bit worried about Sean's condor here. So I'm going to go for speed next. I don't know if you gentlemen have heard this, but speed kills. That's what I've been told. In this case, cocaine kills, but that's a whole other story. So I'm going to go to the cat family like you did. I think you guys have, what was it, a Siberian tiger and a lion, the king of the jungle.
Respectively.
I'm going to go with the cheetah. I'm going to get the most speed I can on the field.
You're going to be breaking rules?
But I my hope is, even if it can't take down, well, it can take down RJ's dog, let's be honest, but even if it can't take down one of the other animals, it can certainly at least run away from your animals and avoid being killed until the battle is done, and then I will be declared.
So you're
winner.
Drafting Tyreek Hill.
I'm drafting running out the clock until all the other animals are dead, because the cheetah will just run away from everybody. Josh, I'm curious. You've heard this entire draft. Whose team of animals do you think wins this fight?
I won't lie to you, B-Mac. I'm going to have to give it to you, because once RJ with the first pick chose a house dog, I already
not
knew
a house dog.
Somebody from the dog family.
He picked a Yorkshire Terrier.
I picked a poodle. Yeah, that's what I did.
He chose Rover.
I chose a poodle. Listen.
At least say like Rottweiler or something.
I'm just saying like a dog. Like, you know, I may be able to choose out of that category. We don't know what it's going to be. So it's going to be a surprise, but it's going to be out of the canine family. That's where I'm going. We're not revealing that until the day of the match.
You could have at least gone wolf.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, listen,
no,
I'm saying it's going to be out of the canine family.
You do not get a wolf. You get
it's
going to
be out the canine family.
You said canine family.
It's going to be some sort of dog.
You said man's best friend.
And yes, listen, a wolf. People are training wolves every day. People are training wolves. People have wolves for a pet. So it could be that. Hey, we don't know.
I can show you a lot of videos from Dubai of say.
Listen, it could be Michael Cole, you know, coming out. Is it? Yes, it is. It's a wolf. It's a wolf. It's a wolf. And take all you guys down.
If I can draft Caesar Milan and defeat you by just training your dog, then
too bad. Too bad we don't have humans.
I know. Well, Yeah, if the draft goes longer, I'm gonna draft Caesar Milan.
I'm gonna draft chocolate.
I'm gonna draft a squeaky toy. I'll just throw it over to the other side of the arena, and your dog's gonna leave you. Okay. All right. Coming up next on the bullpen, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. We're gonna get into a few things, but I want to finish off the show with two things in particular. We're going to have some negative. We will have some negative here. We're going to swim with the anger sharks and talk about the worst person in sports this week. But then we'll wrap it up with some positivity from our favorite thing, the thing we love the most in sports this week. That's next here on the Bullpen, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in. The Bullpen, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Sean Mapes, RJ Saunders, BMAC, Brian McDonald. And guys, I'm going to let you set this up a little bit. You guys follow the NBA more than I do. But Ja Morant's had a few things going on in his life recently. He's fighting 17-year-olds. He's got guns and clubs from what I've heard. I mean, this is all making the thing that happened with Shannon Sharp seem regular and not out and, yeah. And not actually crazy that, by comparative.
That is the most normal thing of the things that we'll talk about. Yes. Yeah, so
what is going on with Ja Morant?
So earlier this week, there's police records obtained by the Washington Post that Morant was accused of punching a 17-year-old 12 to 13 times during a pickup basketball game. The way I land on this, because I wanted to do this as things I hate for the week, but I was like, I don't 100% hate this. I definitely can't put it as a love, though, because he did allegedly punch a 17-year-old 12 or 13 times.
Throwing a basketball back at him too hard? Is that the complaint?
They did the thing where Ja hard-checked it to the kid. The kid hard-checked it back, and it just hit Ja Morant in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
so,
then,
so Ja's mad because he didn't have fast enough reflexes.
Yeah.
He's a professional athlete.
And then as a professional athlete, he punched a 17-year-old 12 or 13 times. And then went inside. This was all at Ja Morant's house.
Yeah.
Went inside his house.
Got a gun, right?
Got a gun. It was just showing it to him.
Yeah.
Was not
making
was
a suggestion
making
of
a
what
suggestion
could be in his future if he passed it too hard.
Yes.
To
there's him. Also a situation where his mom got into, I just think, like a regular mall argument at a finish line.
There you go. See, the first thing when I thought when I read that story is like, oh, finish lines are still open?
Yeah.
And maybe I just haven't been in a mall in a while, but I didn't know they were still open.
Finish line.
Yes. And so she called, again, her all-star NBA player son to be like, hey, come handle this for me.
She's being a total Karen here.
Yeah, and how is the, hey, have my son handle this, not, wait, I can just send you shoes. I have a Nike deal.
Yeah, really,
right. How's this?
Yeah. Ja, why are you sending your mom to the finish line when you could just get her shoes on your own?
Yeah, so he threatened the parking lot, the mall cop, and showed up with...
Didn't he ask what time the employee gets off?
That... And so all this came out, I think, Wednesday or Thursday. Yeah. And so you think, Ja Morant, just got to lay low for a while. You're not going to get suspended for this yet. Like, we'll let due process, whatever, but just... You got to chill out.
Now, just yesterday, the Memphis Grizzlies have said he'll be away from the team for at least 2 games after flashing a gun on Instagram Live.
So didn't learn anything.
This guy hasn't learned anything. He may
0 lessons learned.
I don't know. When you look at his background history, there are those that said he went to a great private school, you know, both loving mother and father. Why is this guy acting the way that he is? I don't know, but... I hope Ja's able to clean himself
up. He just needs the 2 games to chill out.
Chill out.
No, two games will fix everything. He'll clear his head. He'll play some Call of Duty with Kyler, and he'll be fine. So transitioning perfectly off of Ja Morant, let's talk about the worst people in sports this week. I'll lead off. And I feel like this guy could be in the Hall of Fame for worst people in sports because we could talk about him every week. But Daniel Snyder is just the gift that keeps on giving for terrible people in sports. We all have heard the things about him being under an IRS investigation, an FBI investigation. And not only that, but he apparently is one of the poors that we talked about earlier in the NFL. He is allegedly being charging the franchise that he owns. So the franchise he owns, he's charging that franchise $10 million a year to use one of his own private jets for the team, with an additional $4.5 million to put the team's logo on said private jet. I mean, this is a team he owns, and he's charging that team not only for the use of the plane, but to put the damn logo on it, because he's calling it, get this, RJ and Sean, he's calling it an advertising fee.
This has to be like a tax thing, right? Like a tax shell game.
Yeah, this is
to hide the money.
Total rich person shell game for sure. It's just Daniel Snyder.
Which is not the least of his crimes.
No, Daniel Snyder has far more serious things going on. But just another example of why Daniel Snyder, as Jean Ralphio once said, is the absolute worst. Sean, who is your worst person in sports this week?
I don't have a person. It's more of a thing, situation.
A mindset.
Yeah, I just hate that the pitch clock has robbed us of Luis Garcia rocking the baby as he pitches. It's honestly just about the only downside I see to this pitch clock. I'm very pro the idea in general. It's just, I love the unique windups and batting stances, and you know, they're kind of endangered species with baseball, how specialized it's getting and how everyone's getting the same coaching from a young age. You see the same thing in basketball too. Everyone has the same jump shot.
Right.
And it was a dying breed. Now we have one less of it.
The one thing I do like about that, though, is he was an absolute bee to deal with on MLB The Show to time that pitch delivery.
Just but walk someone.
I would have to walk somebody so I could use just get out of that windup. RJ, who's your worst person in sports this week?
We do not have to play the sound clip because, you know, listen, Jake Paul, I do not like you. I have not
liked
you.
Really just end the sentence right there, Jake Paul.
For a very long time. However, did see his press conference against Tommy Fury. Said, if I win, you walk away with nothing. If you win, I'll double your purse. And Tommy Fury is saying that he has not honored said contract. Are you that mad that you lost? I mean, everybody seems to be very happy that you know, Jake Paul lost the fight, I being one of them. I mean, he wants to say over 775,000 people bought the pay-per-view. Don't care. You lost. Give Tommy Fury his money.
Yeah, you lost to the first real boxer he's fought. I mean, everyone else he's fought is fellow like YouTube personalities and washed-up UFC fighters. Sean, what is the thing you love from sports this week?
Thing I love, and it was a Rick Bucher take that he gave on Speak on FS1.
It's that you pronounced that correctly. Well,
it has an explanation. You had to speak.
Speak.
And
speak.
I'll give you the, do we have it, Josh? We have it.
Oh,
here's Rick
now?
Bucher.
Kevin Durant needs to get married.
What?
Love it.
Kevin Durant needs a relationship that teaches him what you have to respond to and what you just let go. And that, for me, is what marriage taught me. What's really important? And to your point, I thought it was it's at the heart of it. Like, we're talking right before the camera turned on, which is, I only care about criticism. I'm aware of all criticism.
Of course.
But I have learned how to only respond and take seriously criticism from those I respect and from those who know me.
Yeah, that just good old-fashioned hot takery.
That's such an old man take. Oh, it'll calm you down.
I don't even particularly agree.
It'll give you focus.
I like the art form.
You like the art form of the hot take. All right, RJ, we got looks like we got about a minute and a half here, so let's be quick. But what was the one thing you loved from sports this week?
Well, listen, you got to respect his game, and that's Nikola Jokic. Kendrick Perkins walking around here saying he's a stat padder. Well, Nikola Jokic this week got his 100th triple-double against the Houston Rockets and was able to clap back at Kendrick Perkins, which was hilarious, where he said, yeah, I'm just a stat padder.
I mean, when you're stat padding, it's easy, you know, so.
You heard that, right?
You heard the stat padding stuff out there.
Yes, of course. I mean, it's
What's
true.
What's your reaction to it?
It's true.
So is that why you went up and rebounded the ball 5 times on that one play to score?
No, he blocked me the first time, so, and I grab it and I just miss it.
Yeah, I love the subtle shade that he threw back there. That was well done. So we're running out of time. Let's go ahead and skip the clip that I have. I'll just quickly say that Matthew Mayer, I believe I'm pronouncing the name right, from the Illinois men's basketball team, apparently missed some workouts and I believe maybe a game because he had caffeine poisoning from drinking, I believe it was 6 Monster drinks because he wanted a caffeine euphoria to play video games. As a avid video game player, respect. All right, that'll do it here. Come on. You got to respect that. So that'll do it here for the Bullpen, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. It's been a blast doing this show with you. We'll be back next week. For Sean Mapes, for RJ Saunders, I've been Brian McDonald. Have a good day, Houston.
ESPN 97.5.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.